Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. In the new documentary, Women Laughing, longtime New Yorker cartoonist Liza Donnelly sets out to explore her lifelong passion for women's humor and cartooning by speaking, laughing, and drawing with a diverse group of remarkable women who create cartoons for the iconic magazine. Inspired by her book, Very Funny Ladies, and Liza's own biography, the film also looks back at the fascinating history and evolution of single-panel cartoons from the 20s to the present and reveals how far women have come in a field historically dominated by men. Women Laughing includes intimate conversations with some of the most celebrated and groundbreaking cartoonists at The New Yorker, including Roz Chast, Emily Flake, Amy Huang, Emma Allen, Victoria Roberts, and the magazine's first female cartoon editor, Emma Allen. The film will screen at Doc NYC on November 15th and 17th. Director and film participant Liza Donnelly and director Kathleen Hughes join us to tell us more this morning. Thank you both for being here. I appreciate it.
Hi,
good morning.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm well. Liza, I wanted to call you up last night. I was watching this thing. I watched it twice, and I just adored this film. It is it's damn perfect. It's just it's lovely, and I'm just it seems to me, and I don't know if this is true, but it seems to me that from you, because I can't imagine it any other way. That you, from your perspective, that everything you wanted to achieve, you were able to achieve with what you did in what is presented to us, the audience.
I don't disagree at all. I think we really did what we set out to do, right, Kathy? It's just I'm so happy with this film, and I'm so glad you love it because I know you love cartoons, New Yorker cartoons, and I was excited to send it to you.
Well, it's just an absolute joy, and so what I mentioned it in the introduction. You did the book, Very Funny Ladies. But at what point did this come as something that you wanted to do in a film, and in we should say in cooperation with the New Yorker as well?
Mm-hmm. Right before the pandemic, it dawned on me that I wanted more people to know about these women, not only the women from the 20s, but the contemporary women, my colleagues who do amazing work. And I thought, well, how about a documentary? And I'd never done one before, but I spent the pandemic researching and talking to any documentarian who would talk to me and putting it together and finding an amazing team of people who have done it many times before, like Kathleen, who's on the call with us. That was the idea. It was just to get it out to more people, get this. And I wanted to focus on creativity as well, not just who they are, but like what struggles they went through and how they do what they do.
Kathleen, talk a little bit about go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I met Liza at a party, a friend's birthday party, and she was telling me about this project that she had underway. And I just thought, what a perfect idea. I didn't say, I'll come and direct it with you, but I did say, any help you need, let me know, because I love this idea. And then one thing led to another, and there we were making it. And, you know, to what Liza was saying, her ideas weren't just, let's give biographies and let's sit down with people, you know, and kind of, find out where it was much more about like, let's watch them create and let's try to bring mm-hmm. the creative process to the screen. So it mm-hmm. was a challenge, but it was a lot of fun.
So Kathleen, talk a little bit about those challenges, because it seems brilliant to bring the women together at the Algonquin, have them around a round table, which this show is named after, we should note, and this is what I loved, and I don't know which of you had this idea first, but the idea that what you were going to do was, as you talk, all the participants were also going to be drawing.
Well, I think it was, I don't, you know, I can't remember whose idea it was exactly. I think Liza talked about how when, and you can say the story better than me since it's your story, Liza, but when her children were young, she and Michael Maslin, her husband, who is also a New Yorker cartoonist,
yes,
would lay out big papers on their living room floor and draw with their girls. And part of what they would do is show that, like, Liza's dog was different than Michael's dog was going to be different than their kid's dog.
Yeah.
And that kind of, I think that sparked the idea. Am I right about that, Liza?
It's perfectly said, Kathy. It's like drawing together relaxes most of us. I guess some people who think they can't draw aren't relaxed, but it's a way of talking without with that softness of the drawings, sort of break down the barriers and have fun with it too. And the women had a lot of fun. They really, the women we have in this film just took to it like ducks to water, and they just love drawing, and they're compelled to draw, and they were really great at sharing their stories and their lives and their creative process.
One of my favorite.
I was so relieved.
Don't go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, you know, when we set the shot up, you know, we had pens and paper and everything laid out, but I wasn't really sure what was going to happen. And I can't tell you how relieved I was as a film director that all of a sudden everyone did just pick up the pens and the paper. And as you see with Roz Chaz, the paint, and just went to it.
Was that was that, a watercolor pen? She got so excited over that.
A colored pencil that you can put water on, and it becomes a watercolor. But I also want to give a shout out, Joe, to the Algonquin was so great in giving us that space and the round table and the time. And then, so we had that shot, those shots there, but we also had one-on-ones with me and Roz, me and Emily Slake, me and Bishak Som across the table from each other at the Society of Illustrators. They also gave us space and time in their building for free. And both those venues are, you know, iconic New York City institutions, wonderful. And they were wonderful in their generosity towards us. So really want to, if anybody has never been to the Society of Illustrators, you got to go. It's on East 63rd Street.
I was just going to say that. I'd never been there and didn't know it existed, and just am now one of their biggest fans. It's the coolest little place.
And what do
it's
they
really
exhibit normally, you know, daily, 9 to 5?
They have a variety of different shows. It's a townhouse, and the society has been around for 100 years as a place for artists to gather. They have a variety of exhibits, and I actually curated one for them this past year, in 2025, to celebrate the New Yorker's 100th anniversary. So it was cartoons from 1925 to the present. But they have, so I've curated for them before, but they have illustration, they have cartoons, they have all of it.
And then I remember one night we were filming there, they routinely, if you become a member, you don't have to be an artist, you can just be someone who wants to learn to draw. So on the top floor, you'd have to check their schedule on Wednesday nights or something, you could come and like drink and draw.
There you
and
go.
All these people that's come together and
sketch night. Yeah.
There you go.
It's just a fun, nice place.
At the very beginning of the film, as you're sitting down at the table, I notice, and I see Liza sitting down at the table, and she has a glass of wine in her hand. I think, oh, okay, this is going to be fun. This is going to be not everyone did, but I thought it was it set the mood. The interviews that you do as you're sitting across the table with the cartoonists are so wonderful, Liza, because you pick up and show beautifully the particular cartoons that struck you and things that struck you, and I think that brought out some very interesting aspects to the work of the artists. And I just the one thing that I couldn't get over, and it may have been the reason why I wanted to watch it again, but I just love you talking to Roz Chast about having of trying to draw a bombshell.
Oh, yeah, that was a great scene.
It's a great scene because she said she could, you could, it started by drawing women, right? And you, mm-hmm, and you tell a story in there when you first started drawing for the magazine, you would always draw men and you show that. Mm-hmm. And then slowly there's this, oh, well, the everyman can be an every woman too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that leads into this conversation about drawing women and then you asking her about the bombshell, which is really interesting because you get to see it go through her head and what comes out, and you have your version as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we both drew horses at one point. And then there's also Joe, our colleague, Bishak Som, who is, talks about having trouble drawing men, and she's transgender, and so she talks about her whole process of drawing. She's been drawing a long time, all of her life. She's a trained architect, actually, and how drawing comics, and she's a beautiful graphic novelist, comics mm-hmm, helped uncover her real identity as a woman. I mean, she always felt that she was a woman, but it didn't come out until she began drawing more and more about it. So I just thought there's so many levels to this film, and Kathy's an amazing director, and our editor, Andrew Fredericks, the getting these details, and we have so much great footage, Joe, that didn't make it into the film.
Oh, I bet.
And it was really hard, but we pieced it together, so I think there's a great different levels of conversation going on here. Provocative.
Women Laughing is the name of the documentary, and it's going to screen at Doc NYC on November 15th and 17th. And if you go to the website womenlaughingfilm.com, you can find out more information about those screenings as well as other screenings taking place. We wanted you all on before the screening at the Woodstock Film Festival, but we had a pesky fund drive that got in the way. So delighted to have you here today talking about this particular showing and screening.
Thank you.
What was it about the, as you said, there's so much material and so much there. And the person who just bowled me over was Emma Allen, the magazine's first mm-hmm. female cartoon editor, and mm-hmm. of just what a real change that is, and what it is like for her to come into this and to say, okay, I'm going to. I say bring it into a new direction, but bring it into the right direction, right? I mean, just to have an equality.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. She tells a story about, Liza asks her the question, do people still ask you whether women are funny? And mm-hmm. Emma surprisingly says, yes. She mm-hmm. gets that all the time, that there's still that. Mm-hmm. You know, stereotype that women can't be funny, mm-hmm. Which unto itself is kind of a showstopper.
It really is. Go ahead, Liza.
Yeah, we remember Christopher Hitchens and Jerry Lewis saying women aren't funny, and that was like two decades ago, but it's still lingering somehow. And Emma speaks to that. She has a very funny story about it, but in the film,
she does.
Yeah, but she just by virtue of the fact that she is the cartoon editor, I think helped increase the diversity gender-wise, and you know, and I think she and David Remnick worked at that also to increase the racial diversity as well. So all those things are happening there in the cartoon department.
You talk and I think this is I found to be very interesting when it comes to Em and the work, but you pick up a copy of the magazine, Liza, and say this issue of the magazine, which my brain tells me was 2017, but I could be off on that.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
This is the issue where there were more cartoons by women than there were by men.
Yes, and 2017, and Michael Maslin, my husband, who's a historian of the art form as well, saw it. He noticed it. He counted the cartoonists. He knew that it happened, and he told me, and I thought, well, this has to be celebrated. This has never happened before.
Yes.
It's always been very unbalanced since the beginning, although there were women in 1925 drawing cartoons, but not many. And so I did an exhibit at the Society of Illustrators of Women Cartoonists, and I also approached my publisher of Funny Ladies to see if we could do another edition. He immediately said, absolutely. So that's where the second edition of the book came out, where I could include the newer women, talk about the changes, and then David Remnick and Emma Allen did the foreword of Very Funny Ladies. So it's still equal, as far as I can tell.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Mm-hmm. I mean, that wasn't a one-off. I don't know if that's always the goal, but it's certainly something, because you have more women and more people who are working at the product, that there's more diversity within the group, that mm-hmm. it would allow it to happen much more often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It feeds on itself, right? And I also want to point out that women and men don't draw differently necessarily. You know, we all have our own senses of humor. But what we're hearing now, as more women are drawing humor and creating humor, is their stories and their lives, because humor comes from the individual's experience in life, and women have different experiences than men. And many of the women now are like drawing about very, very specific women experiences, like menopause and yeah. menstruation. So it's and they make it so that I hope that men can relate to it too. You know, it's not just only for women.
For women.
Well, and nobody said, we're not going to worry about this because only men will get it, right? I mean, no, has that ever been said? you make that point too, which is the diversity, and does that because a lot of times I wouldn't even think the reading public would. I mean, probably in tone, right? But wouldn't necessarily even know unless they see the name, or the name clearly indicates one way or the other, which it may or may not do.
Totally. I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I can elaborate on that, but I don't think... when I first started and I was looking at the magazine as a young person, I saw these drawings by somebody named Nurit Carlin, and her work is very simple and often captionless, and I thought, wow, if that can be in the New Yorker, maybe I can be in the New Yorker. And then I started submitting, and then I found out that Nurit was a woman. She's since passed away, but she's Israeli and had lived in New York, and she was drawing for the New Yorker. So I had no idea that I was being inspired by a woman cartoonist, but it was for her style and her approach to humor that intrigued me.
You make that point too. I mean, the point is made in the film that the New Yorker was co-founded by a woman. So that, I mean, that's another part mm-hmm. of it too, part of the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jane Grant. Yeah. I seem to be doing all the talking. Kathy, do you want to speak to Jane Grant?
Oh no, she was married to the, I've forgotten his name already.
Herb Ross, right?
Herb Ross.
Of course. Yeah. Yes. And and together, you know, they started the magazine, which I didn't know until we started doing this work. It started out as a humor magazine. The New Yorker was originally meant to be a humor magazine, and all of the seriousness mm-hmm. came later. Mm-hmm. But so right from the get-go, there was a woman in charge, and they were hiring women artists. And cartoonists. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. we in the documentary we show some of their work, and some of what's really fascinating is how timeless many of their cartoons really are. Mm-hmm. Some of them, yeah. as Emma Allen points out, could be published today and get laughs. Like yeah. there's a mansplaining one in there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There's a. Yeah. one of the and the round when you talk to Victoria Roberts, she's mm-hmm. just marvelous. I love her work. I love the cartoons.
I know.
Just so magnificent. And my God, I could listen to her talk for an hour and a half. I mean, on just her alone. What an interesting perspective, and someone who has been at it for a long time, right? I mean, there were those of you, you, Liza, of course, Roz, Victoria. I mean, have been at this a long time, and seen the changes firsthand. It wasn't just coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the changes at the magazine and in the culture. Yeah, we survived. How many editors, Joe? We Roz and Victoria and I survived like three editors and three cartoon editors. gratefully, but yes, the changes at the magazine, it's pretty much been the same in terms of. I mean, each editor has their own taste in cartoons, but for some great reason, Roz and Victoria and I have survived.
Might be because you're pretty good.
Victoria is so great at talking about the art form of cartooning. She's just very eloquent when she talks about, and in the film she mentions how it really works. These wonderful little single panel art pieces. And how they function and how they make us think and laugh.
On the same day as I'm watching the film, I'm also we have an event next week and I'm interviewing Susan Orlean, and she has a magnificent memoir out called Joyride, and there's a whole section in there about dealing with the various editors at the New Yorker and how the magazine has changed and going into the Tina Brown years and to David Remnick and mm-hmm. so forth, and mm-hmm. and so I that was a lot of that was in common really of what it was like of sort of being unsure of what the next person in charge was going to be. Mm-hmm. to be like and to work with and how they were going to respond to the work that you were doing.
Mm-hmm. I have a funny story that related to that with Roz. So when Tina Brown was hired in the 90s, she assembled all the contract cartoonists, of which I was not one yet. And Roz was there and Michael Mazin was there, so I got a report back. And Tina said at one point that she didn't want any fuzzy cartoons anymore. And you know, who knows what she meant by that, but Roz immediately apparently thought it meant her. And Ed Korn, you know, Ed Korn's styles is fuzzy.
It is.
And he thought it meant him. So everybody was really nervous about, and Tina wanted more timely cartoons, which the New Yorker has never told us what to draw. But so for her to say that was frightening to some people.
Because it becomes.
Like the week. What?
Yeah, because it mm-hmm. becomes more of an editorial cartoon, right? I mean, that's
right.
The danger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the New Yorker, as you know, the New Yorker's always had editorial-leaning cartoons.
Sure.
But they never, it's always been, they've never told us what to draw or directed us, which is all comes from the artist's point of view.
And the process is still the process. In other words, you make the point that it used to be either submitting and dropping them off or going into a room and waiting, and then but now it's mm-hmm. done by email, and mm-hmm. but you know, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks can go by and you don't sell anything.
Yeah, it's true. It's excruciating, but I always say that it's hard to get that much rejection. It never gets any easier. Roz says that in the film.
Yep.
But I think it's kind of a genius way to get great work, because you're doing a lot of drawing and you're making a lot of stupid drawings, but some of them are good and you never quite know which ones are good and which ones are stupid. Your editor helps you. I mean, they select them. Emma pre-selects them, and then they go up to David, and he makes the final choice. So it's just a matter. So you end up drawing for yourself, really. You can't draw for the editor, although you do keep them in the back of your mind. I admit that, but you're drawing for yourself, and hopefully it works.
Women Laughing is the incredible documentary. It's going to be screening at Doc NYC on November 15th and the 17th. If you go to womenlaughingfilm.com, you can find out all about it, as well as other screenings. And it's womenlaughingfilm.com. Liza Donnelly, Kathleen Hughes, thank you so much for being with us. What a delight to have you. Congratulations on this magnificent piece of work, and thank you for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having us. Yeah.
Be well. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.